sure for this.
Okay. Go ahead. It's your last day anyway, so make fun of me. I'll be gone in a few weeks. Well, I just want to say that it's been a real blessing this past week. It's been a real, real blessing, and I've gotten a lot out of this that it's been real refreshing. I mean, I feel like I can breathe. I know what my mission is now. I feel more at ease with what's going on in my own mind and in my own heart. I praise God for that. I basically right now just want to take a few moments and just thank each and every one of y'all. Yeah, this has been amazing. It's the last mission conference I was at. I was just starting. Everything was new. It was real. But this time has been a real, real blessing. I want to thank the church, this church in particular, for the stands that it takes on different things, doctrine. That is such a blessing that this church takes a stand on doctrine and keeps at it. You don't know how many churches don't think that doctrine is that important. We've heard that during this in morning meetings and in the evening. We've heard different speakers about doctrine, different stuff, but doctrine is very, very important, especially when we think about it from God's perspectives. I want to thank those who support us on the mission field, day in and day out, month by month. Y'all are a real blessing to me. I see my list every month, and I thank God for each and every one of you who give, and those of you who pray. Prayer, we covet your prayers. Prayer is what keeps us in contact with God, and so when y'all are in contact with God, that makes me want to be more in contact with God, and that is just, the whole circle is fulfilled, and I just praise God for that. For those of you who took part in this, during this whole week, and cooking and preparing stuff for us, it's been amazing. I've probably gained about 15 pounds. I need to go running for about a month straight in Poland just so we get it off. But it's been great. It's been great. We've been a real blessing to us. I'm thankful for the wonderful fellowship that we've had. The fellowship with brothers and sisters. That is just amazing. Where you can come, different opinions, different characters, different people, and yet we can sit down and praise God together and say, what a mighty God we have and what a mighty God we serve. That fellowship is excellent. Also, one thing is that my wife and I were, or she was basically scared about before she came over here was, will they like me? Will they like me? Will they approve of me or whatever? And so she was a little bit scared of that, but I want to thank you for making her feel welcome here. I knew it wasn't a question. It wasn't a question in my mind. Y'all, I knew y'all would. I knew y'all. I know y'all for a long time. And those of you who didn't, shame on you. But I thank y'all for that. I thank you for making my wife feel at home here. And I know when we leave, she'll miss this place. She'll miss the fellowship that we've had here. We've talked about that. And you will be missed. You will be missed. It's hard leaving. This is my home. But I got a mission over there. I got a job to fulfill. I need to do that. So, before I shed any tears, I'm just about to. Isaiah 61. The book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And this is a message that I have been preparing for this whole week. Hopefully I can go out with a bang. And not a bomb. There is a difference. I've bombed quite a few of my messages. And gone back and fixed them and preached them again. Okay. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord of God, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's 61 verse 1. What I want to start with right now is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings. That is what we preach. Good tidings. Now the question is, who are the meek? And I asked some people if they knew what the word meek was. I looked up on the internet. online. Jason and Sherry don't have a dictionary at home, so I mean, you want to donate one to them. But it says, humbly patient, docile, as under provocation from others, overly submissive or compliant, spiritless, tame, obsolete, gentle, kind. These are words that describe a person who the gospel is preached to. Good tidings unto the meek. Same thing as that like I preached the other night about the thief on the cross. The one thief wasn't very humble. He wasn't very meek. He was very haughty. He thought highly of himself. He thought himself good. The other one was meek. And he got the blessing. He got the gospel preached to him, and he got the eternal blessing of being with God for eternity, being with him in paradise. That was an amazing thing. So if you read here, he says that he preached good tidings unto the meek. That should make you think, am I meek? If you're not saved today, am I in the position where I can hear those good tidings? And am I in the position where I will receive those good tidings? I want to receive that. Don't you want to receive good things? We don't want to receive from our parents, you know. Sometimes we get, for birthdays, we get clothing, we get, you know, socks or something. You want good things. We don't just like socks. We want these hand-knit sweaters and stuff. They're good and fine, but we want, you know, what we desire. Do you desire something? Do you desire good things of God? He's given you something. He's given you a free gift. Good tidings. No, in Psalms, there are a whole bunch of different things that we can go around what the meek will do. For example, in Psalm 37, that's a turn there, just real quick. Psalm 37, 11 says, the meek will inherit the earth. We know that word, that verse. The meek will inherit the earth. Interesting. It says also, the Lord lifteth up the meek. You know, these are words of people that describe a person who is humble before God. He lifts up that type of person. He loves that type of person. He will guide the meek. Do you want to be guided by God? Or do you want to guide your own life and see where it ends up? Oh, that's a wrong move to take, to be guided by yourself or by man. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And that is exactly what we're doing right here. Beautify the meek with salvation. And that's why that is good tidings right there. The gospel of salvation. That's what I just want to get started with. But it keeps on going in our verse. It says, He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And right now, I want to take a few moments and look at three words. He hath sent me. Isaiah said, God sent me over there to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me. Are you sent by God? Are you sent by God to do something for Him? And you may say, well, I don't have the gift. I don't have the ability to do that. Think about it. Think about it real quick. You don't have the ability? Let's look at one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians, and this verse has been on my heart from the very beginning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. God trusts us with His gospel. That's right. He entrusted us. If you today are here and saved, you have an obligation to get the gospel out. You have an obligation. You have no excuse of not getting the gospel out. God entrusted you. And that trust sometimes failed. You failed that mission right there. How hard is it to get a track out? How hard is it to take a few moments and just go out downtown? You know, even on your family day. You know what? A lot of our family days in Mexico and in Poland, and still today, my wife and I will go downtown and pass a few tracks out. It doesn't take long. You can pass a few tracks on your family day and then go out later on somewhere else. It doesn't take that long. But the gospel needs to get out. Did you get it freely? Did you receive salvation freely? Someone wasn't sitting at home, sitting on their duff, not doing anything, thinking, well, I don't have the ability. You know, it is hard, believe me. I know, it is hard to get out and talk to those people, especially when they just walk by and say, get out, I don't want to talk to you. I know it's hard. But do you know the power of salvation? The power of God's Word when it is preached and fall in our hearts. It'll prick hearts. It'll touch hearts. You do not know where there's a good, clean heart, where there's a heart waiting to receive the gospel. Some people just don't know where to look. There are so many religions out there, they just don't know where to turn to. Well, so why don't you go to them? Amen. Why don't you say, look, it's here, right here. Don't have to go to every church in the world just to find the religion. Find Christ. Open your Word. Open the book. You'll find it. He entrusted us. God trusted us. Think about those words. God trusts us to get the gospel out. Do we fail Him in that aspect? Are you sitting around doing nothing? He entrusted us with the gospel, my friends. And you know, think about it. If the person who preached to you and gave you the gospel had the same kind of attitude you have, like, fine, it's an obligation, I will only do it just because I have to. Well, then, that just fails the point. You know, we used to do it with gladness and joy about what we're preaching. If you say, here's a tract. God loves you. Believe on Him. You will be saved. Just do it. No, what is that? What kind of testimony? Whenever someone goes to your door selling something, do they say that? Like, look, I like this. You need to buy it. You need this. I know you don't think so, but you do. That's what they do. That's what they say. Why don't we have the same kind of attitude to the gospel? Say, look, my friend, you need the gospel. You need to hear this. Why don't we do that? Instead of saying, look, here, take this. Read it at home if you want. Come to church. Whatever you want to do. Just here. I did my duty. It's not a duty. It should be a joy to get out there and preach the gospel. If the person who preached to you the gospel had that kind of attitude, like, here, do it, you probably wouldn't have been convinced. You're like, what is this? I don't need this junk. I'm going home. I don't need this type of junk. I get this out in church. I get this all over the place. I don't need this from you. See, we were entrusted with the gospel. And it says, and as we spoke it, so we speak, they said. So God entrusts you with the gospel. Do you speak it? Do you talk about it? Do you tell every single person you have an opportunity to? See, in Poland, I have a real interesting opportunity to give the gospel just about every single time somebody asks me where I'm from. They ask you where I'm from and why I'm what am I doing here in Poland? I have a great opportunity to say, look, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Do you know what that means? And they're like, well, no, I don't. And then I have an open door. Okay, you don't know what that means? I'll explain to you. Find your open door. Find your way to every conversation to turn it away, to turn it to God. It's not that hard. You walk into a store and say, look, I really need something. It's like, oh, you need something? Are you sure? Are you sure that you don't need something more something spiritual? Or have you found God? Do you need Him? There's all sorts of ways to turn every conversation to where you get the gospel out, my friend. It's easy. Come on, let's do something. Let's not sit at home and just say, I don't have the gift. There are a bunch of things you can do. You know, even effortless, you know, how much gift do you need to pass out a tract? You have a gift of driving a car. You have the gift of having a car. You have a gift of actually having the ability to drive it. And then you have the ability to know where to find people. What other abilities do you need? People is what we're looking for. Lost people, lost souls who don't know where to go. And that's what we're looking for. Back in our text, in Isaiah 61, he says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This world is full of brokenhearted people who are just so downright fed up with religion, they just don't know where to turn. Their hearts are broken because somebody, some priest, said, I can forgive your sins, and they found out he had a girlfriend somewhere off to the side. What kind of man is this? There's so many atheists who were Catholics. That is, it's a shame. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. Every time downtown we talk to somebody and say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, were you at the beginning? No, I was a Catholic and I was a very, very fervent one. And but also, I'm fed up with religion. And so I don't believe in God anymore. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating. You have to work so hard just to get them back to say that there is a God. It's so hard and frustrating. But there's so many brokenhearted people. Those people usually are of the poorer class. Didn't you know that the Bible says that the rich shall not, that it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? It is hard. Maybe because they trust in money. That's very possible. Maybe because they trust in themselves. When it comes to a poor man, who has he got to trust? He's downright frustrated. I can't trust myself anymore. I tried that. Look where I'm at now. I'm in the gutters. I trusted man. That didn't get me anywhere. And so they say, trust in God. He knows your every thought. He knows your every need. Trust in Him. I say, you know, I think that's what I need. I think that's what I need. But they won't hear. They don't know. They won't have their hearts bound unless you go out and tell them where hearts can be bound. Who can bind their hearts? No one will know unless you get out there and tell them personally. They are usually with a bunch of problems. They're full of problems. I lost my job. I lost my wife. I did all this stuff. What do I do now? Believe in Jesus and you will be saved right now. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, it says. Later on it says, to proclaim liberty to the captive. Liberty to the captives. There are a bunch of people in this world who are enslaved to a whole bunch of things. They're just completely bound to religion, to work, to their own money and just different things are just bound to them. They don't know how to get away from them or their own bad habits. They're just downright enslaved to them. Those kind of people need the gospel. But everybody needs it. Even the rich, they need it. They need to hear it too. But it's a lot harder to get one of them to get saved. So why don't we just get out and just spread the gospel all over the place? Rich, poor, whoever they are, a bunch of problems, no problems, whoever they are, they need the gospel. Amen. If they're lost, they need it. You have it. Don't sit on it thinking, well, I got it. I'm not letting go and I'm going to sit right here because I got a free ticket to heaven. You got a free ticket. Give someone else one. You got a way to heaven. Why don't let someone else who's dying and going to hell get something like that? Do you not appreciate the gift that God gave you to that extent at all? Do you not appreciate what Jesus did for you? I have a hard time understanding why Christians won't get out and tell people of the same thing that they received. You know, I give the people in Poland an example. If someone found out the reason for our, how do you put it, the medicine to heal cancer, and they say, you know what, I'm just holding this for myself just in case I get cancer, and then I'll use it. No, you got friends and family, people you care about who got it, and you want to give it to them, you want them to be healed, you want them to stay longer with you. You would give it away. You wouldn't even ask for any money. You say, look, take it. This will help you. This will help you. Help others. Are you not sensitive to the needs of others? You know, Texas is a very friendly state. I love it. We were talking the other day that up north you don't get this kind of treatment. Texas is a very friendly state. Yeah, Uncle Mike, I know. You can tell you're not that friendly of a person. I know I worked with you for like 3 months. No, I'm teasing. But it is. Texas is a very friendly state. So use that opportunity. Say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, how would you take this? This is something good for you to read. It's not that hard. You know, the same people are enslaved to a thing that covers all the rest of the categories. Sin. They're enslaved to sin. you and I today have a choice. A choice we have today to listen to God or listen to our flesh. We have a choice if you're saved. You have a choice. Those who aren't don't have a choice. They are the children of the devil. Children of their own fleshly minds. And they have no choice. Why don't you give them a choice? Why don't you let them say, you know what? I don't want to give the devil today the victory. I will give God the victory. I will give God the glory because in Him I have now salvation. Why don't you let them say that? You can say that. Why don't you let them? Later on it says, opening of the prisons of them that are bound. Some people put bounds on themselves. Say, you know what? I can't do that. My family just won't allow me to do that. They put bounds on themselves. They're bounded to something. To family, to tradition, to different things. They just are bound with chains. And every day you hear them just clattering as they walk by. Because you know they're so bound to religion, so bound to these things that they just don't know how to. Where's the key? Christ is the key. Christ is the key. I'm releasing every single bound.
That's right.
Anybody who's bound to their own minds, to their own flesh, to their own sin, or to their own religion, traditions. We've lost quite a few people who were almost Christians. That almost persuaded me to be a Christian, right? Almost persuaded me. We've had a lot of almost. And that is so frustrating. A lot of almost. But you are not. You are not an almost. You are for sure saved. You are for sure going to heaven. So why don't you give someone else the opportunity to be for sure saved? For sure. Not, I'm holding, oh, that's the Polish way, you know. Polish way is you hold your thumbs. I'm hoping maybe, just possibly, if I do this, I might get saved. No. We have no doubt in our minds. We have no doubt. And if you today have a doubt, I would suggest reconsider what you did to receive salvation. Because the person who's doubtful really has a problem with salvation. Doesn't understand. Paul said, for me to die is gain. He knew that when he died, he would gain something. Are you sure you would gain something today? Later on, chapter 61, verse 3, it says, at the end of this, of the last part of this whole verse, I'm just going to be taking this a little bit out of the context. It says, the planting of the Lord that He might be glorified. At the very end, the planting of the Lord that He might be glorified. That's exactly what we do when we get out and preach the gospel. We are planting the Lord. We are giving the seed into people's hearts, letting God deal with them personally. Amen. Say, look, God, I'm just throwing it out there. You give the increase. I know they're out there somewhere. I pray that whoever got the gospel might get saved. Amen. I pray that every single time I preach on the streets,
Amen.
I pray that there's a good heart, a heart that is good and clean and wants to hear the gospel, is desiring to hear of God, and just it falls on their heart, and that the devil wouldn't steal it away. And the devil would have come by and just say, look, you don't need that. I pray that every single time I preach. So I don't want that. I want people to get saved. I want people to understand the joy that we have. The great pleasure that it is to serve a great and mighty King. What is our goal in all of this? Why do we get out and preach the gospel? Why do we do all this stuff? Why do we make it look like a fool out there? What does it say? That He might be glorified. That He might be glorified, my friend. Brother and sister, we do that He might be glorified. Not us. It's not at all about us. We heard that recently. Not at all about us. It's all about Him. All about what He did for us. That He might be glorified. God entrusted you with the gospel. Do something with it. Amen.